Hey, know where we can score some haggis? It's still illegal to import haggis from Scotland, despite reports saying otherwise. There's been a ban on British beef and lamb since 1989, when mad cow disease was in the news. If you don't already know, haggis is made from sheep innards, heart, liver, lungs, and fat, which are mixed with spices and oatmeal and cooked in the sheep's stomach. American haggis lovers were elated last week when word spread that the ban might be lifted. Haggis producers in Edinburgh were pretty excited too. They were already salivating over potential sales to a U.S. market. But when the BBC contacted the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they said not so fast. Recently, several news articles have incorrectly stated that the U.S. will be relaxing or lifting its ban on Scottish haggis, a spokeswoman wrote the news organization. And while a review of the ban on beef and lamb is underway, there is no time frame for its completion. And there may be another barrier to importing haggis. Since 1971, the U.S. has banned all food made with lungs. So, until the day when real Scottish haggis comes to the U.S., we'll have to make do with scrapple.
We all know what's coming up on Sunday, and right now, some of us are thinking not just about football, but also about food. But a Super Bowl Sunday menu does not have to be limited to pizza, nachos, and beer. We're joined now by two people who have better ideas about what to serve for the Super Bowl. From our member station WWNO in New Orleans, Donald Link is chef and owner of the restaurants Herb Saint and Cochon and author of the cookbook Real Cajun. And from member station WFYI in Indianapolis, Regina Mihalik is chef and owner of R Bistro and author of Regina's Seasonal Table. Welcome to both of you.
Hello. Thank you.
Donald, let's start with you. What are you going to cook for Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, first I'm going to cheat a little bit and get some sausage and salami from my butcher shop just for snacks. But what I usually do with the sausage for the first part of the day is I usually just go cook it in sauerkraut, serve it with mustard, maybe some apples, some Riesling, you know, very German style.
Mm-hmm.
But the main dish that I always cook is the seafood gumbo.
So seafood gumbo and sausage and sauerkraut sounds like it's kind of a weird combination.
Yeah, you kind of got, you know, I always throw the Super Bowl party, and my parents did when I was a kid, so it's kind of a tradition. It's an all-day thing. So you have the daytime event with the pre-show, and that's where we do the sausages and the beer. That's kind of the snack portion, and then that rolls into seafood gumbo, and that's where the second part of the crew comes over for the actual game part.
Regina, I know you specialize in using fresh, local ingredients in your restaurant, so what kind of Indiana food goes into the Super Bowl meal?
Well, I did some thought and careful consideration and definitely thought of we should have blue popcorn because corn is popular here in Indiana.
I always thought Orville Redenbacher had big popcorn fields in southern Indiana at one point.
Yes, that's true. Yes, he started here. And so one of the things that are famous here in Indiana is a breaded pork tenderloin sandwich. And it's classically served with tomato, onion, and pickle.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a pounded pork tenderloin, and you panko crust it and fry it and then serve it with those condiments. And it is pretty yummy.
So it's sort of like pork chop Milano, sort of, kind of?
Yes, that's true, yes. And then in that same vein of using some local food items, here in Indiana, we're the largest producers of duck, so maybe some duck wings, done the classic way that chicken wings would be done.
Hmm. Now, so, Don, you talk about the Super Bowl in your cookbook, Real Cajun, and you describe a big family event, a multi-generational thing. How many people come? What's it like?
Oh, wow. The parties, you know, they're a little tamer. Well, this one in particular, because the Saints are in it, is not going to be quite the barn burner they usually are. I want to sit down. I don't want to be distracted. Actually going to watch the game. Whereas in the past, we can get up to 30 people at our Super Bowl parties, maybe 40. And some of those cycle through. And in my younger days, not that I'm old, but in my 20s, we used to always play football. That was a big part of our day. You know, we'd eat and snack and then go out and tackle each other and play football in the yard. And then but then we'd all kind of settle down, you know, and the drinking's settled down quite a bit, too, in the last few years.
Well, I understand that that you had to do some post-Katrina repairing in your house, and you remodeled with the Super Bowl in mind. Is that true?
we started that before the hurricane. We had almost just finished this renovation when our house flooded.
Oh, great.
But it was, you know, because every year we know we have so many people over for the Super Bowl, and we want to make sure that everybody has a real good vantage point to the TV and be close to the food. So the design, when we redesigned our new house, we designed it with a huge wraparound counter with lots of bar seats, and then the dining room off that, and then the living room kind of at an angle. If you're, you know, we actually stood where the stove was going to go and lined it up to where the TV would be, just to make sure that we had the broadest view of the TV, and that, and the whole thing was purely just for that day.
Regina, what about the restaurant? Have you are you working on anything that's special to the Colts or give some kind of a nod to this event?
We have lots of blue things at the restaurant. Well, I have blue flowers in my flower arrangements. We got cadet blue napkins for the table for dinner service this week. We have flags hanging up. One of my staff is making Colts blue ties for all my front of the house people to wear. I mean, everybody is just in the spirit.
Don, this is obviously huge for New Orleans to have the Saints in the Super Bowl finally.
Yeah, finally.
I guess this is a big lift for the Big Easy.
Yeah, I am getting kind of chills just about to say it, but with Mardi Gras this weekend and the Saints in the Super Bowl, I mean, this is a fantastic time to be here. I remember I was on my layover yesterday. I called my wife and, you know, said, you know, I'm on my way. And she goes, well, you're coming back to a great, great fun city right now. She said the city's charged up and people are happy and there'll be parades this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, what a good thing for this city.
Indiana has not exactly been unscathed by this recession, Regina. Are you feeling that Super Bowl mania is coming to you as well?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There have been so many pep rallies and gatherings and people dressed in blue and white clothes. I even have my Super Bowl Colts shirt on right now. And it's just, you know, this is a big sports city. And everybody is all out excited. This is just a happy time. It's bringing people together. Lots of people on the street are saying hello and go Colts. So we're pretty excited.
Well, good luck to both of you on Sunday.
Thanks.
And thank you very much for joining us. Regina Mihalik is chef and owner of Our Bistro in Indianapolis. And Don Link is chef and owner of Herb Saint Restaurant in New Orleans. You can find recipes from both of them on NPR.org.
Donald, good luck. But I hope we win.
Who dat?
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montagne.